Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Because the boys in the front office are always hard. Come talking that trash and they'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, skin, I ain't said spit.
The John Daniels Show is brought to you by Evan Williams Bourbon and BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Yes. Joining us now is the general manager of the Texas Rangers. How you doing today, JD?
I'm good, Ben. How are you, man?
Hey, we're awesome. And, man, I want to start things off by visiting with you about an article that Levi Weaver wrote in The Athletic, and it was about Brock Burke and sleepwalking. And I wanted to ask you what, you know, because in this article it kind of talked about a pretty serious thing where Brock will sometimes wake up and he's even found himself, you know, out on a patio or balcony at a hotel, and his roommate usually needs to keep dibs on him. And so I just wanted to find out, how are you guys approaching whatever it is with sleepwalking, and not to underscore what it is, but how are you guys approaching all this with Brock?
Yeah, first off, I gotta admit, I was not aware of that until I read the same article as you did, and obviously since I was kind of alarmed by it, amused but alarmed. And so it kind of just followed up with a number of folks on our side, Josh Shelton, our traveling director, first and foremost, just, you know, kind of see what we can do to put him in the safest rooms possible. And, ask Woody and the coaches and our trainers just to follow up with Brock and see what's been done in the past and what else we can do. For the most part, it sounds like it's relatively harmless, but, you know, anything that kind of could risk any sort of injury, we want to get ahead of.
You know, John, I would like to talk about Brock the pitcher, but I'd also like to talk about yourself. Do you have any weird, do you talk in your sleep? Do you remember your dreams? Do you sleepwalk? Do you sharpen knives during sleep? Do you do anything weird?
My wife seems to think I'm kind of annoying and flop around and pull the covers off for her, but I think that's probably the worst. I'm not a big, like, dreamer. I don't typically remember my dreams. I don't really know what that means. If you guys can break it down for me, analyze me a little bit. But no, I'm, as I am in most areas of life, I'm fairly boring.
I was going to say, I don't remember my dreams either, and I think it means that you're just a realist. I think you're just, screw the dreams. But let's talk about the pitcher. Let's talk about all your young pitchers. But since the last time we've seen you, we've seen Brock again, and I would imagine there's a lot of positives there on y'all's end.
Yeah, I mean, early in the season when he went down, had the little shoulder fatigue and the blister. It was kind of a kick in the gut for us because we really looking forward to seeing him all year. And I think he would have been up, you know, a month or two ago, quite frankly, if not for those issues. He just came in looking so good in spring training. He was really, like, more poised and polished than I think we were even fully expecting, even after we'd seen him in the mini camp. And then he really just kind of picked up right there, man. I mean, he's first start on the doubleheader against the Angels, you know, inning one, you got Trout and Ohtani and Upton and, like, you know, some legit hitters there. And we had just had, you know, Palumbo go out after an inning with the blister, and we really needed a pick-me-up, and he did just that. And super poised, 100 degrees, and handled it great. And then, you know, the same thing the other night. He could have unraveled during the first inning. I think he had a little bit of challenges with the signs with Trevino, and then after the double play, he came back out and was, you know, really good again. You saw him make some small adjustments. I think that helped his velo climb as the game went on. He didn't have his slider wasn't quite as good as game one, but his changeup might have been better. And it's just kind of neat to see a young pitcher in a new environment, a little bit of a tough setting and dealing with a little adversity and make adjustments on the spot and not unravel.
So exciting news with your international signing class. I don't know what you can and can't say, but I'll leave that to you. I just know that there's a lot of things out there that have folks excited about the way you guys have handled your signings.
Yeah, you know, the news that we reached an agreement pending a physical with Byron Laura, we'd added Bannister and Maximo Acosta earlier this signing period, and there might be some other guys coming down the line. Our international crew, Rafiq Saab and Hamilton Wise, and everybody involved with that, I think this had a chance to turn out to be a really exciting class. You're talking about two kind of middle-of-the-diamond players and then kind of a guy that profiles a real kind of middle-of-the-order power bat. He's a ways away, 16 years old, but Acosta, of the guys that we have officially signed, you know, he's kind of physically a little bit like Elvis, where he's got that kind of the broad shoulders and really good frame, and then makeup-wise, you know, our guys are talking about him much the same vein they did when we first signed Jerks, and just really intelligent, precocious, kind of ahead of his age in that area, and then, you know, just like a true shortstop, that really profiles a guy that can handle the bat and has shown the ability in a limited sample so far to hit velocity and do some fun things. So we're excited about that group.
So I saw a picture online of Byron Laura standing next to Mike Daly, and he was a good foot and a half taller than Mike, and it got me excited. I'm thinking, hey, this guy's 16. He's already huge. First of all, your thoughts on him being a foot and a half taller than Mike, and then if that's accurate, and then how do you begin to? I mean, that's a lot of money. If it, you know, the reports are $3.9 million. So how do you figure out if a 16-year-old has the right makeup?
Yeah, well, Mike's 4'7". So picture is the scale.
Got a 5'10" guy.
Yeah. Exactly, like the rest of us in the office. Laura's, first of all, it's a really good question, and one that, you know, that we can do a lot of things to kind of get to the bottom of that. But I'm not sure that if you lined all of us up, you know, everybody you guys work with, everybody here in the office, that all of us at like 15, 16 years old, and you know, you could get a pretty good gauge of like who had a chance to be, you know, driven and successful and motivated and all these things, but you're still judging teenagers on what they're going to be like 10 years down the line, right, when there need to be, like, productive big leaguers. And so there is there's obviously risk associated with doing that, but we've got a lot of guys down there that are experienced in it, that have been around these guys. We put them through, a lot of different scenarios, both on and off the field, where we try to get around them. We go to dinner with them. We meet the family. We spend a lot of time in the home with the parents, and you kind of want to know their education level, you want to know their maturity level, what kind of adversity they've faced in their lives, how they handle adversity on the field. They're used to being the best kid from their neighborhood or whatever, and now they come in these prospect games and they're just one of the group, and like how do they differentiate themselves, how do they handle themselves, and try to make as best of a judgment as we can off all that information.
John Daniels joining us on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. In reading Evan Grant over the weekend talking about all the different things Ruggie has gone through, and this is, you know, kind of, I don't want to say become a tired story, but it's an ongoing story. He is under contract, but Nick Solak looks like a really promising young player who can play second base, and you had some quotes in the story. Is it safe to say that that's moving forward into 2020, that the second base position is up for competition. How do you guys look at what's going on with some of the newer players and some of the guys you already have?
Yeah, I just think in general, I think, you know, as we hopefully start to turn the corner from, like, talent acquisition, we're always going to be looking to acquire talent, but, you know, from young talent acquisition to trying to put the team together to compete and contend and win, like, we're going to have to be realistic and have to be open to, you know, if somebody is not performing up to their capabilities or quite frankly just not performing to a level where we have other guys that are better suited to help the team, then we've got to be open to that. I mean, the last couple of years we haven't had that same level of competition. I think, you know, it's going to be a little different the next year or two. We've got some intriguing guys that are breaking into the big leagues and that, you know, to have earned a right to at least compete for spots. And so, you know, it's not just about Rugi and Solak, but that's an example where, you know, we're going to do what's best for the club. You know, really like both guys as people, and both guys are talented. But, you know, if the club's better off going one direction than the other, then, you know, we're going to have to listen to that.
And just kind of to stay on that for a moment, where do you like Solak best defensively? Do you think he, because, you know, he's what coaches would call position flex. He can do a lot of different things, but where do you see him?
Yeah, I am intrigued to kind of see if he can play third base, but that is very much an unknown. I think he's willing to do anything to kind of stay up here and get in the lineup. He played the outfield his first 2 years at Louisville, and then he moved to second base, and he's been mostly a second baseman as a pro. I think the easiest thing to say would be that second base is his best spot if I had to really bet on it, but I'm intrigued to see. He's pretty athletic, and I think he's going to really put the work in. And I'm intrigued to see how he plays at third.
Yeah, I'm curious about Rugi in that regard, too. Obviously, he's already had – I mean, there's not a massive age difference there, and Rugi's been in the bigs now for a while and had some success. But Rugi is, you know, I think of him as only a second baseman. Is it possible that you might entertain the idea of some position flex with Rugi and try him at some other spots to increase his value to the club?
Not today. But I think, you know, if we end up getting to a point where, you know, the best for the club is to have somebody else play second base, then, I think we would have to explore those things.
I would assume you're looking forward to Saturday, which will be the retiring of the number for Michael Young. Kind of give us your thoughts on Michael and what's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, man, really thrilled for him, first and foremost, as a friend. You know, relationships really on a personal level just been one of the more rewarding things for me, just, you know, kind of with what transpired over the years here. Started off kind of really close to the unusual, like, management player relationship, and then that kind of frayed and around everything that happened here, and then so to be able to I've redeveloped that relationship with him and what he means to so many people in our organization, the community, what he's accomplished on the field, the, you know, kind of person he is, husband, father, and, you know, he and Christina, their family's awesome. So I think he's got a bunch of family coming in for it. I'm just really excited for him personally to be honored, and it's cool that we're able to do it here, you know, at this park before we move into the new one, because this is where he dominated and he led the team to, you know, the playoffs and the World Series, and this is where he deserves to be honored.
You know, we got to know him much better when his playing days were over, because, you know, he was the leader of the clubhouse and he'd speak to the media, but he was always, you know, there was definitely a barrier there, and rightfully so. But that barrier's come down over time. We've gotten to know him, and he's one of the most extraordinary human beings I've ever met, regardless of anything to do with sports. But you are far more eloquent than I am, and I'd love to get your thoughts. You talked about the type of person he is. So if somebody hasn't met Michael Young, regardless of baseball, how do you describe Michael Young, the person? Who is this guy?
First, he's really bright and well-spoken, very loyal. I mean, I think he's one of these guys that has, like, kind of deep friendships from, you know, when he was in high school. And, I mean, heck, he and Woody are friends from when they played against each other in you know, youth leagues in California. I mean, I obviously, like, you know, he's made money and whatever in his career and had a ton of success, but I don't think he's changed a whole lot. Just, you know, really cares about his his sons, really close with his, tight with his family, just really highly principled guy that's, you know, not afraid to kind of speak up for what he thinks is right. And then to his credit, he's evolved. You know, I just think his views on the game, his views on players, his views on development have evolved as he's been exposed to different things. And, you know, that's not something – I think sometimes people have a – athletes sometimes can have a tendency to kind of get stuck in – and not just athletes, anybody around sports – you know, we can kind of get stuck in our ways and and become the grumpy old man, get off my lawn. And he's anything but that, man. He's got his views that are solidified based on experience, and then he's been, you know, really open-minded to the point that, I mean, he literally just texted me a little while ago to, like, challenge me on something that you know, that we need to change or we need to adjust on. And he's been, you know, he's a good friend, but he's a huge asset to the organization.
Awesome. Really looking forward to that. Thanks for the time today, John. We'll catch up with you next week, man.
Thanks, fellas.
There he goes. John Daniels, right here on the Ben and Skin Show every Tuesday at 1 o'clock.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.